This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Salatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa ala rabbi shahli sadri wa yassirli amri wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everybody. Welcome to a Juz a Day. Today we are covering the 15th juz of the Quran. We are going to be halfway done the Quran, alhamdulillah. And, you know, today is the 14th fast. And then tomorrow after Maghrib will be the 15th. So it is quite a, you know, it's a important milestone that we have reached halfway through our study of Quran. And we will also reach halfway in our study of, or in our fasting of Ramadan as well. So this is a moment to maybe catch our breath a little bit. And then get ready for, you know, like a good finish the last 10 days, which are upon us very shortly, to finish strong in those days, inshallah. Today's juz is the 15th juz. I just closed the Quran here. Sorry, let me open it up again. And it is 15 juz begins with Surah Isra. Surah Isra is Surah number 17, and it ends at Surah number 18, Surah Al-Kahf, ayah number 74. So it has the 17th surah and most of the 18th surah in it. Let's start at the very beginning and let's look at what this surah or this juz has to say in the very first ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan minal masjid al-harami ilal masjid al-aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina innahu huwa as-sami'ul basir. Holy is he who took his servant by night from the sacred place, of worship at Mecca, to the remote house of worship at Jerusalem, the precincts of which we have blessed, so that we might show him some of our signs. Surely it is he who is all hearing and all seeing. This is the story of the Prophet's journey that is known as Isra and Al-Mi'raj. Isra is to travel at night, but it's referring to Al-Isra is referring to the traveling at night that the Prophet did, which when he went from Mecca to Medina, from Mecca to Jerusalem, this was a miraculous journey that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala made him take. And then at Mecca, at Jerusalem, the Prophet, peace be upon him, led all the prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summoned their souls again. And all the prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the prophets and lead them in prayer. And then from there, he ascended up to the, to the skies, all the way up to the highest level or the extent of where a creation could go, where he had a meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then thereupon, he returned afterwards back to the earth. And that was the journey of Isra and Mi'raj. That is a very, you know, there's a lot of lessons there. There's a lot of things that took place there. The obligation of the prayer was given to the Prophet on that journey. But the first leg of that journey was going from Mecca to Jerusalem and leading the prophets in prayer. And this is what this ayah is referencing. It's referencing that. The details are found in the books of Sirah, in the books of history, but this ayah is referencing that event. This is a very nice segue from the previous surah. If you remember the previous surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he is a community by himself. He is like a nation unto himself. That is the role, that is the stature of Ibrahim. The Prophet sallam is now the leader of the prophets. He is the imam of the prophets. He is the last of the prophets, but he is the one who, is the leader of them. So the role of the Prophet ﷺ is being cemented in this surah here, and that incident cemented that. Also, previously, if you look at another interesting segue, ayah number 125, the Quran says in the previous surah, "Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'izati al hasana," call to the way of your Lord with wisdom and a fair exhortation, a nice reminder. Maw'idhat al-hasana, a good reminder. Wajadilhum billati hiya ahsan, and reason with them in a way that is best. Okay, so it speaks about inviting the people. Then surah number 17, surah Isra, is going to tell us what is the way that we invite people. What is the good example that the previous surah references? What is using wisdom in calling people to Allah, inviting people to Allah? What is that? And that is the topic of the surah. The theme of the surah is the glorious Quran. The glorious Quran is the theme of Surah Isra, Surah number 17. Why is that? Because this word is mentioned 11 times in the surah itself. And this is not a normal occurrence. The Quran, the word does not repeat so often in other surahs of Quran. But in this surah of Quran, it repeats 11 times. So that goes to show this is a central theme. And that central theme, the Quran is going to teach us how to invite people to Allah with wisdom and a nice way. It shows this first ayah right here. This first ayah that we just looked at right now, it shows the passing of the baton or passing of the book from Bani Israel to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the other prophets to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from Bani Israel to the Muslims. Okay, this is what ayah number one is signifying. The Prophet is now the imam of the prophets, and this nation, the nation of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, are the ones who the baton has been passed to. And now they are the ones who are going to carry this forward. This is not strange. Ayah number two says, وَآتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ وَجَعَلْنَاهُ هُدًى لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ أَلَّا تَتَّخِذُوا مِن دُونِ وَكِيلًا ذُرِّيَّةَ مَنْ حَمَلْنَا مَعَ نُوحٍ. We gave Moses the book and made it a guide for the children of Israel. Do not take anyone besides me as a guardian. You are those who are descendants of those whom we carried in the ark, with Noah. He was truly a thankful servant. So it happened in the past that the book was passed on from Noah alayhi salam to Moses. And now it's passed on from Musa to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Musa and Isa, right? And then finally, it's passed on to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is what this opening ayah signifies. Okay, Bani Israel, as Bani Israel is mentioned in the Quran mentions in them when it critiques them, it is meant to also be a mirror for us. Bani Israel slacked off with regards to the book. The book here is going to refer to previous scriptures, so they have slacked off in the when it comes to holding on to the commandments of that book. وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ فِي الْكِتَابِ. We forewarned the children of Israel in the scripture. Twice you shall commit evil in the land, and twice you shall become transgressors. Right? This was a reference to two instances when Bani Israel were completely annihilated, expelled and humiliated. And it's a reference to that because that's what happens to people when they give up their book, right? When they give up the practice of their faith, when that happens, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would punish them, right? With Bani Israel, this was something that took place historically. Two instances were referenced here, for example, with what happened with Nebuchadnezzar and how he completely annihilated them, what happened with the Romans. Those are two instances I reference here. Now, it's a mirror to the Muslims because the Muslims also, when they left the practice of their deen, when they became divided and interested in material acquisitions and interested in empires and not so interested in upholding the law of the Quran and implementing it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them as well in the same way. They were, other nations came and ransacked them. The Mongols came and ransacked the Muslims in a way that was never done before. Okay, and then some centuries later, the colonists came and ransacked them again. And we still are seeing the ramifications of both of those things. Subhanallah, this is what happens when you give up holding on to the book. The Quran says it is a guide, ayah number 9. inna hadha al-Qur'an yahdi lillati hiya aqwam. Surely this Qur'an guides to the most upright way and gives good news to the believers to do good deeds so that they will have a great reward. وَأَنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ أَعْتَدْنَا لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا and warns those who deny the life to come with a grievous punishment. Okay, the Qur'an is the thing that guides. Remember last surah, it ends by saying, you know, invite to guidance. This book is the thing that guides. It tells you how we should approach this this topic of inviting people to Islam and reforming ourselves. Okay, it speaks about the book of deeds, or it speaks actually firstly about when it comes to guidance and humans. It speaks a little bit about the psychology of humans. وَيَدُعُ الْإِنسَانُ بِالشَّرْطِ دُعَاءَهُ بِالْخَيْرِ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. Man asks for evil as eagerly as he should ask for good. Truly, man is indeed hasty. Like, we're quick to lose hope. We're quick to give up on ourselves, to, you know, question Allah's wisdom, to throw everything out because we are emotional. That's how we are, just hasty in this manner. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. That is actually a character, that's a character flaw that prevents guidance. Guidance is attained, and when it is attained, it gives you tranquility and it gives you the ability to bear difficulties with patience by remembering Allah and not acting irrationally and emotionally. But this is a quality of people, unfortunately, who you know, the guidance is prevented from getting to them. This kind of attitude is a very dangerous one. This irrational, emotional attitude. Okay, ayah number 13 speaks about the book of deeds. The book of deeds. We have tied the fate of every man about his neck, and we shall produce a book for him on the resurrection day that he will find spread open. Read your book. Read your record. And today, there will be none but yourself to call to account. كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا. People will, you know, go through ups and downs of life. But everything we do, right, it's recorded in this book of deeds. And on the day of judgment, that book of deeds will be produced. And even though we may forget, because we are forgetful, the book of deeds has everything recorded in it. And it will be the thing that Allah will use as a baseline to hold us accountable. An important note about accountability, ayah number 15. مَنِ اهْتَدَى فَإِنَّمَا يَهْتَدِي لِنَفْسِهِ. Whoever chooses to follow the right path follows it for his or her own good. Very important. If you choose to be guided, if you choose good, if you choose patience, if you choose rationality, if you choose morality, you're doing this for your own self. It is not for anybody else. The beneficiary is you. وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَضِلُّ عَلَيْهَا. And whoever goes astray at his own peril. It's their loss. It's no one else's loss. They are the first and foremost loser. May Allah protect us from that. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. No bearer of burdens shall bear the burdens of another. This is very important. Everybody is held accountable individually. You cannot blame society. You cannot blame these people misguided me. You cannot blame anybody. Okay? Because اقرأ كتابك. Look at what the ayah says. None but yourself, you know, today there will be none but yourself to call you to account. Like, you know, there's nobody to point a finger at today. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. No bearer of burdens shall bear the burdens of another. Neither is that we are accountable for anybody else's sins. As long as we do our best, you know, if we're living a good moral life and we try to spread this and share this and people don't want it, no problem. That's their choice. It's not a reflection upon us. There are prophets of Allah who barely had any followers, one or two followers. That's all they had. That's not a reflection on the prophets. The prophet that those prophets were amazing. They're role models. It's a reflection on the people. وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. Nor do we punish until we have sent forth a messenger. Very important. Know this ayah is a, what they say, qat'i, like it's a definitive, clear-cut ayah. Punishment in this world, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished people in the world, that was only after a messenger came, right? And the messenger is clearly speaking from revelation from Allah. There's no doubt about it. When the messenger arrives, there's no doubt that this is a messenger, right? It's not like an ambiguous thing. It's not like, oh, there's a 50% chance. It's very clear. It's only now a matter of accepting him or rejecting him, okay? So that punishment, all the things that we've seen, that's speaking about that. But it's also speaking about the concept of in hellfire. Nobody's going to go to hellfire if they have not received the message. Or if they had not acted upon the moral compass that Allah gave them. This is a key part. Because how could you punish if they didn't know what they're being punished for? How is that, you know, in way acceptable? It's not. And that's why the Quran is very explicit about that. And in surah number 67, we'll revisit this idea again because there's an even more explicit text about that concept. Okay, that doesn't justify a person saying, you know what, I'm just going to close my ears and close my eyes and just, you know, live life in oblivion. And then on the day of judgment, I would have no one, you know, I would say, hey, I didn't know anything. Sorry. No, no. We're all given a moral compass. Okay. Morality is in our souls. The fitrah is built in. The desire to look for Allah is built into us. But the question is, how much did we act on it? And Allah is the judge of that. The question is, how much did we seek him? And Allah is the judge of that. But no one is punished until the message has been received and they don't feel that they are unfairly treated. Okay. Ayah number 18 speaks to us about a very important concept. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Man kana yuridu al-ajilata ajjalna lahu fiha ma nasha'u liman nurid." What about a good person? He lived a life, he was so good, he helped people, he paid his taxes, he never got in trouble, right? He's a good man. Sure, he is a good man. Okay? But "Man kana yuridu al-ajilata ajjalna lahu fiha ma nasha'u liman nurid." Whoever, we give whatever we will to whoever desires immediate gains. They are, you know, whatever they worked for in this life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them whatever share is theirs according to Allah's will. But they didn't plan or work for the akhirah. So how can they have a share in the akhirah? They didn't do anything to build a home in paradise. How can they have a home in paradise? ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا لَهُ جَهَنَّمْ يَصْلَاهَا مَذْمُومًا مَدْحُورًا. Then we have prepared for hell for him, which he will enter, disgraced and rejected. But the one who desires, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ, makes the one who desires hereafter and makes a proper effort to achieve it, being a true believer, shall find favor with God for his endeavors. His or her, because the ayah applies to both. كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Actually, it's used, the plural is used here. The translation is not precise. كُلًّا نُمِدُّ هَؤُلَاءِ وَهَؤُلَاءِ مِنْ أَطَاعِ رَبِّكَ. Upon all, both these, those who desire the world and those who desire the hereafter, we bestow the bounty of your Lord. None shall be denied the bounty of your Lord. Everybody will get a share of the bounty of their Lord. Everybody will get also this bounty of ata'u rabbika. It's not just material, the spiritual one as well. The hints, the invitation that Allah gives to every soul to come back to it, to come back to him. That is something that Allah bestows upon everyone. But then the one who, man kana yuridu al-ajila. This kana yuridu tells us that that's all they wanted. Right? Look at this. Man arada, man kana yuridu. The expression is subtly different. Here, the one who is focused on the world and this life, this expression is saying is, this is all they were concerned about. It's not like they couldn't, not only did they not care less, they happily said, I don't want to worry about a life afterwards. As in, I reject the premise and possibility of this life because I'm going to focus my entirety of my effort and life on building my life here. Man kana yuridu. That's that expression that shows that. So it's not like Allah deprived them of the bounty. It's not like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deprived them of opportunities for guidance. The opportunities for guidance were given. وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجِدَيْنِ. Like the Quran says, that Allah guided them to both the paths, the good and the evil, every soul. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Every soul Allah inspires it to it, the evil and good. So they can make that choice. The soul makes the choice itself though. But at the end of the day, it's what you want and what you prioritize. And what you want and prioritize is your actions express priority more than your words. And if your actions are expressing the priority of this life, and so much so that you have completely ruled it out, the other life, then that is what your share is. انظر كيف فضلنا بعضهم على بعض. See how we exalted some above others in the present life, yet the hereafter will be greater in degrees of rank and greater in excellence. Okay, now there are some commandments from the Quran. This is very similar to Surah number 6. If you remember, ayah number 23. Surah number 6 had those commandments and the very end of it, the 10 commandments, like some scholars mentioned, that from the Quran, very similar verses here as well. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Your Lord has commanded that you should worship none but Him. That's the foundation, right? What is the guidance? We spoke about the Quran is a guide for us, right? What is it that we are to do in life? Simplify life for us, O Allah. What is it that we should focus on? There's too many complications. There's too many things. Simplify. Here's a simplified version. Your Lord has commanded you. You worship nothing but Him. This is one of those ayahs you should underline, or this passage. You know, make a mark. Or this is a real passage you should study. And show kindness to parents. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And again, you notice the parents are right after Allah, because Allah chose our parents. So we're kind to our parents because Allah chose them to be our parents. And of course, if our parents were kind and you know, they did everything for us, then we are even more indebted to them, even more for you know, their kindness and their love that we can actually never really repay. But the premise of this kindness is built upon, or the foundation of it is built upon, the fact that Allah has chosen them to be our parents, and we are doing this to honor Allah and to be devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost. If either of them or both of them attain old age with you, say no word of contempt to them and do not rebuke them, but always speak gently to them and treat them with humility and tenderness. It's a very beautiful image of lowering of the wings. The lowering of the wings is an image of a bird that's powerful, could fly away, but it lowers its wings, its wings, you know, voluntarily to show mercy to its kids. But here that image is flipped, and it's shown to show, it's used to show humility and mercy to the parents, that you're powerful and strong like this bird that can fly away, but you're lowering your wings out of respect and humility and love for your parents. And then be tender with them and say, make dua, قُلْ رَبِّرْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Oh my Lord, be merciful to them both, just like they raised me up when I was little. What a beautiful dua. This is a dua you should, again, underline and make, inshallah, for your parents. A very, very beautiful dua. رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا فِي نُفُوسِكُمْ. Your Lord knows best what is in your hearts. If you are righteous, He is most forgiving to those who are constantly turning to Him. وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى. Okay, so we spoke about worshiping Allah, number one. Excellence to parents, number two. And this time what's new is there was more details described about parents. Be kind, be gentle, be tender, make dua for them. Okay? Number three. وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ وَالْمِسْكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا. Give to relatives, your relatives, their due, and also to the needy and the wayfarer. Okay? Give this in the sense of support them. And this is an ayah that is, you know, you should use, you should give your charity, your zakat, your financial help first and foremost to those who are closest to you. Okay? And then to the needy and the wayfarer. وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا. Number four, do not become extravagant. Don't waste your money. Okay? We say, hey, it's my money. I can waste it as I like. Well, إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. We think of our money as what Allah has given us. And it's money that Allah has entrusted us with. Yes, you've earned it, alhamdulillah. But don't be so entitled that it's my money, I can do whatever I want. No, it is the money that Allah has given to you, blessed you with. It's His bounty, it's His grace. It's an amana. Allah has entrusted that upon you. So don't squander it. Use it for good. Use it for, you know, enjoyment. But don't squander and don't waste. Because those who waste, إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّلِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ, they are the brothers of the devil. وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِرَبِّهِ كَفُورًا, and the devil is ever ungrateful to his Lord. You do that, you become, this is a sign of ingratitude to Allah. Okay, and this, by the way, مُبَذِّلِينَ, and this kind of, you know, extravagance, you know what it births? It births more evil, right? It's not like extravagant spending brings about like some real moral causes or some real great economic development. No, it only enriches a few people. Okay, it will only enrich a select few, and it most likely will lead to some more immoral industries that will surround it. Look at the riches of the rich, right? The people in Wall Street who are partying, where do they party? It's always around, you know, escorts and these clubs and, you know, these call girls that are glorified names for prostitution. That's what it ends up inevitably descending into. إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّلِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. And then at that point, really, what's left of a person's morality when they are indulgent in that lifestyle, okay? But if you're waiting for your Lord's bounty, which you are expecting, you turn them down, then at least speak to them kindly. You don't have money right now. Don't also insult and humiliate the person who's needing help. Speak kindly to them. فَقُلْ لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَيْسُورًا. You don't always have to give money to somebody who needs help. Maybe you don't have money to give to anybody, right? But irrespective, be nice. Don't humiliate the person who is, you know, in a situation of need, as we spoke about. Don't be like the person who gives money and then reminds people and hurts people by his words. Because that charity doesn't count for anything. The spending policy of Islam, because you don't, may not have money at all times. Number five, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ عُنُقِكَ. Be neither miserly nor so open-handed that you suffer reproach and become destitute. فَتَقْعُدَ مَلُومًا مَحْصُورًا. This is also a very beautiful image. Don't make your, this is a literal translation. I'm going to actually try to see if there's a more literal translation here. Sahih International. Ah, all right, this is more literal. Don't make your hand as if it's chained to your neck, right? Literally, like this. وَلَا تَبْسُطْحَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ. And don't extend it completely, like that, okay? Why? What's this image? When this image of someone's hand is chained to their neck is actually the image of somebody who's a prisoner or a slave, right? This is a person who can't do anything out of free will. Don't become so stingy. It's like your stinginess has enslaved you. It's enslaved you. And you're not even spending on what is a necessity, what is, you know, the right of the people, what is the right of the poor, what is the right of your family. You're even stingy in that. It's like your stinginess has enslaved you. Okay? وَلَا تَبْسُطْحَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ. This is an image of, let's give turn without any thought, right? If you remember in Surah before, the Quran says, don't give your money to the fools. Meaning, don't give money to someone who you know is going to squander it foolishly. That's not good charity. That's just being irresponsible. That's enabling irresponsible behavior. So don't do that either. In both cases, you are maluman mahsuran. You are blameworthy. In both cases, if you're too stingy and if you're not calculated about how you spend, in both cases, you are blameworthy. And in both cases, you are mahsur. You are trapped. If you're too stingy, you're trapped by your stinginess, right? And may Allah help that person. And if you are not rational, you just waste your money, right? You just spend it and you think it's good, but you didn't really put some thought into it, right? You're trapped because you're going to be poor. So don't do that either way. So the very beautiful, very amazing guidelines the Quran is giving us about how to spend. Spend on those who are close to you. Spend on your family. Don't waste. Don't become extravagant. Don't become too stingy either. And when you spend, do it in a calculated manner. Don't just, you know, just throw money and say, okay, let's see what happens. Okay. That's not how, that's not wise. In all of these circumstances, you are blameworthy and you're trapped, you know, or might, you might cause yourself harm. Inna rabbaka yabsutu rizqa liman yasha'u wa yaqdir. Your Lord gives abundantly to whom He wills and sparingly to whom He pleases. It's Allah's decree. He makes some rich, He makes some poor. Innahu kana bi'ibadihi khabiran basira. But He is informed and observant about His servants. He knows exactly very well who is who. Okay. Number six. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاقٍ. Do not kill your offspring for fear of want. This is not also a good translation about this. Let's see what Sahih Tash says. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاقٍ. Good. Do not kill your children for fear of poverty. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ. We will provide for them and for you. Indeed, their killing is a grave sin. Now, you might remember something similar from a surah number 6, ayah number 153. Okay. Ayah number 151, excuse me. Okay. Very similar expression. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْلَاقٍ. Right? Here it was, do not kill your children out of poverty. Or due to poverty. Here it is, do not kill your children خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاقٍ. Out of fear of poverty. Slight difference in the wording. Look at this expression though. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ. Here, we will provide for you and them. You is first, them is second. In Surah 17, نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ. They are first and you are second. Right? That's a very subtle, so subtle. The Quran is so incredible in its expression. And it's such a subtle little thing here, but you have to catch it. Right? What's the subtlety? Here you are, you have kids, you are in a state of poverty. And because you're in a state of poverty, you kill your kids because you are in a state of poverty. Allah says, no, Allah will take care of you and them. Okay? Here you are in ayah number, in surah number 17, you are fearing poverty. You're not in poverty just yet, but you're afraid of it. And that's why maybe you don't want to have kids or you want to abort your child. So here Allah says, no, Allah will provide for them. And then He will provide and you as well. So the pronoun is synced with the cause. The pronoun is in sync with the reasoning why a person is killing or why they would be compelled to do something as evil as kill their child. Just as an expression, I'm just trying to show you how powerful the expression here is, how in sync it is, in the Arabic. But subhanAllah, all that aside, the ruling is, of course, don't think that Allah is not going to provide for you and for your kids. Allah will provide for you and your kids, and the killing of them is indeed a great sin. Okay, I think we said number six. Number seven, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Do not approach unlawful sexual intercourse. That's usually what causes the reason to have abortions, right? Someone is trying to hide a pregnancy. Someone doesn't want a child and because they had it out of wedlock, right? Or they didn't plan for it usually when they were just hooking up casually, okay? Don't do this. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ السَّبِيلَ. It is immorality and an evil way, okay? This is not the correct way. The correct way is doing it under the prescribed way of marriage. Number eight, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Do not kill the soul which Allah has forbidden except by right. Okay, this is, again, we've spoken about this at length. It's completely outlawed in Islam to kill a person. Vigilante justice is completely outlawed. The nafs is حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ. Allah has made it sanctified. It has a sanctity. Okay, and we should, when you see a person dying or you hear, 20,000 people have COVID and 10,000 people died or something, right? All those are souls, right? Those that Allah has sanctified. So there is, there's an element of pain that you should feel for the souls of people, right? That is part of our humanity, okay? وَمَنْ قُتِلَ مَظْلُومًا فَقَدْ جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِيِّهِ سُلْطَانًا. And of course, the one who's the heir, of the murdered, Allah has given that person authority, meaning that they have the authority to seek justice. But when they are seeking justice, فَلَا يُسْرِفْ فِي الْقَتْلِ, don't seek justice and go overboard. Justifying that that transgression by the fact that you were wronged, right? That is not correct either. That's what the Quran is very precise about this. Don't overstep your bounds even when you are right and you're seeking justice. Don't do that, because now you have become the oppressor and you have become the wrongdoer. Okay, number 8, I believe, or was it 9? SubhanAllah, I keep losing track of my thing here. I think it's 8, yes. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ Don't come near the property of the orphan except in the way that is best. This is very good, right? This is very good because orphans are exploited. We spoke about them before. وَأَوْفُوا بِالْعَهْدِ Fulfill every commitment, because commitment is to be questioned. Number 9. Number 10. وَأَوْفُوا الْكَيْلَ إِذَا كِلْتُمْ وَزِنُوا بِالْقِسْطَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ Give full measure and full weight when you're doing business. Be an honest person. That is the best way and will bring the best result. وَلَا تَقْفُوا مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ Do not pursue that of which you have no knowledge. Okay? Don't speak about the religion without knowledge. Don't be pretentious. Don't be pretentious. That is one of the most fatal character flaws a person can have, to be pretentious to speak about something as if they know when they don't know. Because that's lying, that's pretending to know something. It's like you are trying to make yourself seem bigger than you are. Mm? You know, like if someone's being attacked by a bear, like one of the things that they're taught is, you know, you kind of pretend to be bigger than you are. You stretch out your arms and try to, you know, look bigger. You know, that's of course if you can run away. If you run away, you can run away, then run away first. But that you do that for survival. You don't do that in normal circumstances. Like you pretend to be bigger than who you are. That's actually a really major character flaw. That's actually what kibr, arrogance is. Istakbara, to seek to be big. Hmm? That is what this is referring to. Don't be like that. Inna sam'a wal basara wal fu'ad. Indeed, the hearing, the sight, and the heart. About all those, one will be questioned. All of our faculties will be questioned. How we used our hearing, our sight, how we used our hearts. Here, fu'ad is not qalb. Qalb is the heart. Fu'ad is the emotional heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us about the times you were emotional. You can't say, I was just emotional. I was angry, so I said that. You said it. You said it, right? And that's the thing. Your fu'ad is going to be questioned as well. So there is no like get out of jail card because you were angry, because you were upset. Some people are like, oh, this guy is just angry. He's always, you know, but he has a good heart. He has a good heart. Well, a good heart means he can control his anger. In the sam'a wal basara wal fu'ad. He doesn't hurt people when he's angry. That's what a good heart is. Not that, you know, oh yes, he has good intentions, but in anger, he says whatever he wants. We don't accept this. You don't accept these kind of explaining a way of bad behavior. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا Don't walk proudly on the earth. إِنَّكَ لَن تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضِ You're not the center of the universe. Have humility. Remember your origins. You can cleave the earth. You can't just like destroy it. You can't become as tall as a mountain. You're just a small human. Okay? كُلُّ ذَلِكَ كَانَ سَيِّئُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ مَكْرُوهًا All this is detestable in the sight of your Lord. Right? Understand how important this is. These are the commandments that Allah has given to you. مِنَ الْحِكْمَةِ From the wisdom. Right? If the religion is becoming too complex for you, brother and sister, this is the place you go back to. That's what you're asked to do. That's from the wisdom. مِنَ الْحِكْمَةِ That is from the revelation. Okay? And then everything else is fine details. These are the important aspects of the faith. How we deal, first about the oneness of Allah, how we deal with our family, how we spend our money, how we do a business, how we transact ourselves or conduct ourselves when we are angry, when we are happy, how we make relations and have families. These are the things that are important, right? How we walk with humility, we talk with humility, right? We treat people with grace and kindness and tenderness. These are the things that are important. That's what the deen is about. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٍ Do not set up any other deity with God, lest you be cast and held and condemned and rejected. فَتُلْقَى فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَلُومًا مَدْحُورًا Maloom, if you are cast in Jahannam, if a person is in that situation, it's the Quran will make this very clear. It's their fault that they were there. It's not the fault of God. Okay, There are some people, of course, who are this beautiful wisdom that the Quran has shared, right? Some people will be deprived from this. For the Quran says, وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لِيَذَكَّرُوا. We've explained the truth in this Quran in various ways, right? صَرَّفْنَا is the example is given in multiple ways, so we can process it. Maybe it clicks now, for some other people will click at other times, but Allah has given the examples in various ways, so people may take heed. But for many, and particularly the people in the audience of Mecca, it only increases their aversion. How so? What is the reason? One of the reasons is that they seek other idols with Allah. And Allah says, how is that possible logically? If there were other idols besides Allah, as they claim, then they surely would have found a way to the Lord of the throne. Meaning, the idols would try to seek closeness to Allah. They wouldn't worry about you, right? Or they would try to overthrow Allah and become the dominant Lord. How is that? Like, just logically think about this. How is this going to work in this manner, right? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says also there's people who will be prevented from benefiting from the Quran. Ayah 45, when you recite the Quran, we place an invisible barrier between you and those who do not believe in the hereafter. Okay. Again, this is not talking about someone who is not a Muslim and they are learning about Islam, you know, and whatnot, and they're interested and whatnot. This is someone who, particularly this one is speaking about the people of Mecca specifically, but generally someone who has the same attitude as the people of Mecca, who were just trying to find a reason not to believe in the Prophet ﷺ, okay? And you have that attitude, then Allah will place that barrier. It's going to prevent you. That attitude is what's preventing you from benefiting from the Quran. What does Allah say? We place veils over their hearts, and to prevent them from comprehending it. And we afflict their ears with deafness. When you mention your one and only Lord in your recitation in the Quran, they turn their backs in aversion. Okay? This is a very interesting thing. They say what? They say, look, إِذَا كُنَّا عِظَامًا وَرُفَاتًا إِنَّا لَمَبْعُوثُنَا خَلْقًا جَدِيدًا. Number 49. When we are turned to bones and dust, shall we be restored to life? How is that going to be? Like, how is that possible? The Quran says, yes, even if you were to turn into stones or iron or anything that's even more substance that you think is unlikely to be given life, even then Allah will bring you back to life. They will say, well, who is it that will restore us to life? Answer them, the one who created you the first time. The one who brought you into existence from nothingness has the power to bring you into existence in the second time after you have been created and you have passed away. He has the same power. And they will say, when will this be? They will shake their heads at you and say, yeah, when will that be? قُلْ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونَ قَرِيبًا. It may well be very soon. Look at this conversation, right? They're asking a question not to learn. They're asking a question to either mock or to maybe just find some reason, some justification in their heart to not believe, right? To not have this worldview. And then the Quran says, well, then the day that happens, right? It will be too late. It'll be too late to praise him. It'll be too late. You should have praised him when you were alive. Okay. The Quran speaks about the story in this surah about the story of Adam and Iblis. Okay. Actually, before that, this is actually a very nice ayah. I want to share this. I don't know. I didn't have this in my notes, but I'm going to share this with you. قُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ لَتِهِ أَحْسَنُ. Tell my servants what they should say. Always say. They should always say what is best. It's a very powerful ayah. I think I always remind myself. I try to remind myself of this ayah whenever I get angry at people. All right. We should always try to say what's best, because Satan stirs up discord among them. You say something out of anger and shaitan will come up and stir up discord. And this is true. Wallahi, this is true. You say something out of anger and that is now shaitan goes to town, right? Inna shaitana kana insani aduwwan mubina. Surely Satan is an outright enemy to mankind. But the solution to this is say what's good, right? Don't disarm the devil. Help your brother as well. Very, very important. And we ask Allah to give us this kind of wisdom Ameen. You look at ayah number 61. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ. We said to the angels, prostrate yourselves before Adam. They all prostrated except Iblis. He said, am I to prostrate myself to someone who was created out of clay? Right? This story, has we've seen it a few times. But here, again, a slight difference appears. A slight slight variation of the example, right? Do you see this being whom you have exalted above me, right? Again, this is this arrogance of the devil, that he will say, how dare Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exalt this other being over me? He chose wrong, right? He chose wrong. He should have chosen me. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, this is, not your place. And now here, a little bit of detail about how the devil can entice people, how you can lead people away from the path of God. Entice whoever you can with your voice and mount assaults against them with your cavalry and infantry, and be their partner in wealth and offspring, and make promises to them. Satan promises nothing but delusion. This is a reference to the whisperings of the devil. This assault is not like the devil is coming on a horse to attack you in your house, right? But this is the idea of a person surrounding themselves with bad influence until they're overpowered by the influence and overpowered by the devil. Like the way to good is so, the chance of them taking that is so slim. It's there, there's no escape for them. وَشَارِكُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. This is the shirk, right? Because some people end up worshipping the devil, okay? And they end up ascribing divinity to the devil, okay? And this is something that is part of his plan. So all of these things the Quran mentions, right? It's going to be whispers. It's going to be overpowering influence. And even in the worst case, right? Or in the worst case, someone ends up ascribing divinity to the devil. This is all, it's kind of like from bad to worse. It's going in the ayah. Of course, the true servants of Allah, you will have no power over them. You will have no power over them. And that is something we have to understand. That the devil does not have power over us. Allah has given us authority. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us sultan over ourselves. And we have, inshallah, to seek the means of protection that Allah has given us. Ayatul Kursi, the supplications. Okay, the Quran mentions that we have honored the children of Adam. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. Ayah number, 70. I'm trying to figure out where this is. Yes. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. We've honored the children of Adam and have borne them on the land and sea, given them for sustenance things which are good and pure, and exalted them above many of our creatures. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done for us. This is for all humanity. Bani Adam, the children of Adam, were like this one large family. That's how we're supposed to see, humanity as such. Yes, of course, we know people are good and bad, but fundamentally, we are all the children of Adam. And Allah has honored the children of Adam. Okay? But at the end of the day, on the day of judgment, people will be summoned. People will be summoned. And people who get their books in their right hands will get their record, and they will be happy, and they will be looking forward, and they will not be wronged. But the one who was, وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِهِ أَعْمَى, whoever has been blind in this life will be blind in the next life to come, and be further stray, will further stray away from the path. And what does that mean? That means in this life they were أَعْمَى. The idea here is that they were not interested in looking. They're not interested in looking for the purpose of life. And not just like that they were busy, like they weren't able to find the time. No, they were a'ma, as if like they just didn't want to see if there was something bigger in life, something more meaningful in life, because that requires a lot of change. And that's hard. I don't want to change. Okay. So if you have that approach, then that is the end at the end as well. That's going to be the case at the end as well. The Quran says the Prophet ﷺ was supported by Allah through the Quran. Of course, the Prophet ﷺ was tempted by his enemies, right? They wanted to strike deals with him. They were like, hey, how come one day you worship Allah? We all worship Allah. And one day, you know, we worship idols. How is that for a deal, right? That's the kind of things they would come to give the Prophet ﷺ as exit from all the persecution his people were facing. But the Quran says, no, if he had not made you stand firm, you would have inclined towards them a little. وَلَوْلَا أَن ثَبَّتْنَاكَ لَقَدْ كِتَّ تَرْكَنُوا إِنَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا. Right? Allah strengthened the Prophet ﷺ through the Quran, and that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. He strengthens the Prophet ﷺ through the Quran. He strengthens us through the Quran. Again, remember the theme of this surah is the Quran. Its meanings, its commandments, its wisdom, right? And then, of course, the example of how Allah provides help to the Prophet ﷺ, and by extension, all of us when we are in trouble, through the Quran, through its guidance. Ayah number 76, وَإِنْكَادُوا لَيَسْتَفِزُّونَكَ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ لِيُخْرِجُوكَ مِنْهَا. They want to unsettle you so they can expel you from the land. But then they won't stay behind for too long, because that's what happens to every people who did that to their messengers. If they kick out their messenger, they will also meet their end soon. And this is what happened to Quraysh. This was a prediction from in the Quran for what will befall Quraysh. And their end came in the Battle of Badr just a few years after. Right? وَلَا تَجِدُ لِسُنَّتِنَا تَحْوِيلًا. You will not find any change in our ways. The Quran, the sweetness of the Quran is felt in Salah. Ayah number 78. أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ إِلَى غَسَقِ اللَّيْلِ وَقُرْآنِ الْفَجْرِ إِنَّ قُرْآنِ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودًا. And especially Quran that's recited in the prayer of Fajr, that's when its sweetness is truly felt. Say your prayers, or establish the prayers, from the decline of the sun until nightfall. These are the five daily prayers. You know, four of the five, from the decline of the sun, then Dhuhr, then Asr, then Maghrib, then Isha, wa Quran al-Fajr, and number five is Fajr, and at dawn. Because the recitation in the Quran, of the Quran at the Salah of Fajr, is witnessed. Witnessed by who? People are sleeping. It's witnessed by the angels. It's witnessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it's difficult. Difficult to be awake at that time, to recite Quran and to pray. It's a hard thing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a note of it, especially, right? And at night is hard. At night it is an additional prayer. Tahajjad bihi nafilatan lak. An additional prayer, with something you can do right now in Ramadan. Asa an yab'athaka rabbuka maqama mahmuda. And if you do that, it may well be that your Lord will raise you to a station of praise and glory. And say, my Lord, grant me an entrance and an honorable exit, and sustain me with your power. Qurabi adkhilni mudkhala sidq wa akhrijni mukhraj sidq. What a beautiful dua. The Prophet knew that the people of Mecca are plotting against him. The Quran gives him this beautiful dua. Allah, allow me to exit honorably and then enter honorably. Right? Let them not put me in a situation where I get humiliated or I get distressed. And sustain me with your power. It's a very beautiful dua for anyone who's in trouble, any type of trouble that you're in, whether it's a troubled relationship that you may have. Adkhilni Rabbi, adkhilni mudkhala sidq, wa akhrijni mukhraja sidq. Oh Allah, grant me an honorable exit, and then grant me an honorable entrance. Sustain me with your power. I need your help, oh Allah, sustain me. A very beautiful dua. I want you to underline this one and make it, inshallah, for yourselves, inshallah, as well. The greatness of the Quran. This was a prediction, by the way. Excuse me. It's mentioned in ayah number 81. Truth has come and falsehood has disappeared. Falsehood is bound to disappear. And when the Prophet returned to Mecca for the conquest of Mecca, he was reciting this ayah, and he was destroying the idols in the Kaaba, cleansing the Kaaba of idolatry. Okay. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We send down in the Quran that which is healing and a mercy for those who believe. The Quran is a mercy and a healing, right? It is a healing, a source of healing for us. It heals our soul. It heals us, even physically, Right? When you are ill physically, we're supposed to seek cure by reciting the Quran. And it's a mercy, a source of mercy. Acting on it is a source of mercy. Reciting it is a source of mercy. But those who are evil, it only increases their loss. This is what the Quran is. It, for those who are believers, it is a source of, it's the best thing ever. For those who are the wrongdoers, the oppressors, the ones who are doing evil, then it doesn't do anything for them. In fact, it only makes things worse for them. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something again, a little thing about a person, how a person could become a wrongdoer, right? A little hint of human psychology. وَإِذَا أَنْعَمْنَا عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ أَعْرَضَ وَنَآ بِجَانِبِهِ وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ كَانَ يَؤُوسَ. When you bestow a favor upon a person, he turns back and draws aside. He's happy. He's like, yeah, you know, whatever. You know, I got this. Yeah, this is all me, right? Everything is good, hunky-dory. وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ كَانَ يَؤُوسَ. But when evil afflicts him, he gives up in despair. This, the moment of tragedy just turns this person's world upside down, and they are as if there's no purpose to life left anymore. Subhanallah, what a tragic situation, right? That is someone who is far away from guidance. Everyone acts in their own way, and your Lord knows best who's rightly guided. This person is not rightly guided. The one who is rightly guided is who takes the guidance of the Quran, the mercy of the Quran, and puts it into action by being able to deal with tragedies that they see and they experience. Ayah number 88 speaks about the greatness of the Quran. قُلَّ إِنِ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنسُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَىٰ أَن يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِهَا الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَأْتُونَ بِمِثْلِهِ. If all men and jinn were gathered to produce the like of this Quran, they could not produce one like it, even if they were all together in trying to produce something like it. It speaks about the Quran is, it speaks a little bit about the very end in the story of Musa and Fir'aun. Ayah number 101. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى تِسْعَ آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ. We gave Moses 9 definitive signs. You can inquire that from the children of Israel. When he came to them and Pharaoh said to him, Musa, we think you are bewitched. قَالَ لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا أَنزَلَ هَؤُلَاءِ إِلَّا رَبُّ السَّمَوَاتِ الْأَرْضِ بَصَائِرٍ. You know full well that none has sent these down but the Lord of the heavens and the earth as an eye-opening evidence. And indeed, indeed, Pharaoh, I can see that you are doomed. فَأَرَادَ أَن يَسْتَفِزَّهُم مِّنَ الْأَرْضِ. He wanted to scare them out of the land, but Allah drowned him and those who were with him all together. The same word was used for Quraysh. They want to expel you and scare you out of the land. And they did. Fir'aun wanted to scare and expel Musa al-Islam out of the land. And he did. And they both met their ends. Right? So the parallel is drawn between the Pharaoh and the Quraysh very subtly in the Quran. They both tried the same things. They both rejected the great prophets who brought clear signs, and they met their end similarly. The Quran says, وَبِالْحَقِّ أَنزَلْنَاهُ وَبِالْحَقِّ نَزَلْ. We have revealed the Quran with the truth, and with the truth it has come down. Truthfully, Allah has revealed it. In it is nothing but the truth. Okay? And it guides to the truth. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا مُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا. We've sent you forth, O Prophet, as the one who gives good news. We have revealed a Quran to you bit by bit. فَرَقْنَاهُ لِتَقْرَاهُ عَلَى النَّاسِ. So you may recite it to people عَلَى مُكْثٍ, slowly. وَنَزَّلْنَاهُ تَنْزِيلًا, with deliberation. And we imparted it by gradual revelation. The Quran is not to be consumed all in one day or all at once. It was revealed over 23 years. Take your time to the study of the Quran. Take your time to the study of Islam. Don't rush. Take it easy. Take it step by step. That's how the Prophet was taught. That's how the Prophet was taught. Piece by piece, bit by bit, so it could, you know, become firm, it could be processed, it could be, implemented. That's how it's supposed to be acted upon. The ones who believed in the Quran, look at the attitude, look at how beautifully the surah ends. Say to them, you may believe in it or not. Those to whom knowledge has been revealed. They fall on their faces in prostration when it is recited. And they say, glory is to our Lord. The promise of our Lord is to be fulfilled, right? This is such a beautiful experience. They fall down on their faces weeping. The experience of finding the truth is so powerful. It makes them cry and increases them in humility. That is what the attitude of the believers is. From throughout time, whenever they lived, when they heard the word of God, that's what it caused them to become. And when they heard, especially those people who came to visit the Prophet and they were hearing the Quran and they were seeking the guidance, you would see this happen to them every single time. And today too, you see when people, when their hearts are searching, yearning for guidance, when they hear the Quran and they process what it says, it fills them up with humility and gratitude and their eyes overflow with tears. How beautiful. قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. Say all praises to God who has never begotten a son and he has no partner in the kingdom. He has no one to aid him because of any weakness and proclaim his greatness. Surah 18 is the one that we recite. Yes, Surah Kahf is what we recite on Friday. Okay, this is a recommendation. Sister Laura is asking, why do we recite this on Friday? This is a recommendation from the Prophet ﷺ to recite it every Friday. One of the reasons why is, and I'll mention, because Surah 18 continues to the next juz, I'll mention this introduction right now, and then we'll continue talking about it more. Surah 18, Al-Kahf, speaks about the trials and tribulations of life. Okay, and as it speaks about the trials and tribulations of life, Friday, you know, and it's a nice reminder every week to get a reminder of that. That life is going to be full of trials, full of tribulations, and variety of them. And how the stories of the people of the past, how we can deal with them, this is an excellent reminder. Look at how the surah ends. The previous surah ends by saying, قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ, say Alhamdulillah. The next surah begins by saying, Alhamdulillah, right? The previous surah began, surah number 17, began by saying, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi, right? His slave, his servant. And then here, surah 18 also begins by saying, Allah has sent the book upon his servant, his slave, right? This is a nice, there's a nice parallel there. These two surahs are almost like, they're like a couple, right? They're like a couplet. There's a lot of parallels between the two, okay? The surah speaks about the Quran as well and how the Quran is our way to protect us from the trials and tribulations of life. Okay, and it mentions five stories. Okay, it mentions five stories in this surah. Okay, it mentions the story of the youth of the cave, Ashab al-Kahf. They're mentioned here in ayah number 9. Ayah number 9 all the way to ayah number 26, excuse me. Ayah 9 to ayah 26 is the youth of the cave. Their trial was the trial of following the true religion. They were young men. إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ. They were young men who believed in the Lord, and we bestowed upon them further guidance. We solidified, strengthened their hearts when they stood up for the truth, and they declared, our Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, and never shall we call upon any other deity other than him, for that will be an outrageous thing to do. So they were following the truth, but they were persecuted by a tyrant king. So they ran away, right? They ran away and they sought refuge in the cave. And in the cave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them to sleep miraculously for 309 years, as ayah number 25 mentions, for 309 years, they kept, they were asleep. And then what happened is, as they were asleep for that many years, they woke up, right? When they woke up, they started to question each other, how long have we been here? And they were told, well, it seems like a day or maybe a part of the day, but they were there. They didn't actually know exactly how much. So say, your Lord knows best how long you've stayed. They went to the town to get with the silver coins, right? Some food. and the purest of food that they could find, they tried to purchase with that silver coin. But now when they arrived into town and people recognized that this coin is 300 years old, and then they started to recognize that this is perhaps those youth that ran away 300 years ago from that tyrant king, that is when their story came to an end. And that was Allah's way. This was disclosed to people. كَذَلِكَ أَعْثَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ They were disclosed to the people after they were sleeping for 300 years and 309 years, so that they might know Allah's promise was true and that there's no doubt about the hour, the day of judgment. SubhanAllah, this is a beautiful reminder that the promise of Allah is true. Allah promised them He'll protect them, and Allah protected them. And that's the reminder for all of us. Allah has promised to protect His believing servants, and He will fulfill His promise. We have no doubt about that. Okay. And then the other thing is, there's no doubt about the hour, the day of judgment. Just like these people were asleep for 300 years and then they were essentially brought back to life, people will be brought back to life again as well. This is the first story in Surah Al-Kahf, the story of the youth of the cave. One interesting thing about them is their number, right? People will say there were three, the dog was the fourth, there were five, six was their dog. Rajiman bil ghaib, guessing randomly, right? Allah says, say my Lord knows best their number, only a few know anything about them. SubhanAllah, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. The number, the details of the story is not the point of the story. The point of the story is, what is the moral? What can we take away from it? And these figures and numbers that the previous people from the scripture would speak about, those are not the important parts of the story. I'll conclude with one small part here. وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهًا. Okay, keep yourself attached to those who call on their Lord morning and evening, seeking His pleasure. Do not let your eyes turn away from them, desiring the attraction of the worldly life. Do not obey one whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance, and one who pursues his whims and becomes dissolute. This is the cause of losing the true religion. We have to surround ourselves with people who are attached to his Lord, who are attached to their Lord. They pray to them. That's the kind of company we should seek to keep. We should not seek the company of those who are, desiring the attraction of the worldly life. Right? We should not strain our eyes towards them. Because if that becomes our, criteria for success, then all of a sudden, we will start to drift away slowly, slowly, slowly. And then slowly, slowly, our hearts will become heedless of remembrance of God. And that is the beginning of the end. So, it is a very critical thing, as the story of the youth is mentioned, who Allah took care of them and they stood up for following their true religion. Allah reminds us to be around, just like those youth were together. They found protection together. They were able to find strength and courage together. Keep yourself together with the congregation so that the life, the difficulties of life, particularly the difficulties of following the true religion, are easier upon you. Inshallah, we'll end with that. We'll cover the other stories tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, along with surah number 19, surah Maryam, which is one of the most beautiful surahs of the Quran. Inshallah, I'll see you all tomorrow, same time, same place. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.